Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly. Now, guys, with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Android, or MP3 player, you can't go wrong. Now, I love to read, but with me being on the go a lot up and down the road, sometimes I don't have the ability to actually hold a book and read it. So the best thing to do is to download an audiobook and let the audio tell me the story. So go on over to www.audibletrial.com/talesfromabutterfly for your free 30-day trial and download your free audiobook today. Trust me, you won't regret it. Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in and welcome back to episode 27, Young, Gifted, and Black. Now, when we left off last week, I believe Kevin was talking about mental health and Kendrick Lamar, and I've been waiting all week to see how he's going to tie these two together, and I'm sure you've been waiting too. So sit back and listen up as Antoine and Kevin take us on a journey that many of us may not have experienced before.
It was like they all rely on each other to that point, but what I was getting at was it's an issue is mental health, like especially amongst the Black community because of the things we've been through, and it's like
they don't recognize it as that.
They don't recognize it as that. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people have issues. And it was even listening to like music,
absolutely,
like on Kendrick Lamar's most recent album. It's called Damn, and basically he was. He's a rich person. I looked at it as he's a rich person. He's a very rich individual. He's very like musically talented. Mm-hmm. But his album is about him going through issues, like common issues like fear. He speaks on fear.
That's a good song.
And he speaks on like being scared. He's scared to like lose his creativity, and he's scared to like he's scared to lose those around him, and like he's been through a lot, and he's still going through a lot. So, and J. Cole had an album out called For Your Eyes Only, and he speaks on how, like, at one point, it's like he wanted to die. And a lot of artists, like, if you listen to their music, a lot of artists, even new ones or the ones who really rap, not the trap music, but the ones who really rap, they speak on, like, how they want to die. And it's like, what's wrong? You know, it's
you
like,
got all this money, these
you got
Grammys.
All of this, like what's the real root of the problem? And then even talking to people like on campus about music or talking about anything, you realize this is something a lot of people are going through. Like they take school so serious, or they have circumstances in their life so deep that they feel like, you know, it'd be easy if I wasn't here, or they just feel just so that. That right there is another way that helps people connect, because a lot of people feel that way, but they won't say it. But then, like, you're so transparent
on these campuses. That's what I have, I think. And I'm glad that y'all are realizing it at your age. I'm 40, but I've decided, even like with the podcast, and I write. So a lot of times I didn't like people to read my writing because...
Mm-hmm. I read your book, by the way.
Oh, you did?
When it came out.
Yeah. Thank you. Did y'all hear that? Okay. It's called Naked. I will post the link where you could get it. But I do have clothes on in the book, y'all. So, but I never wanted anybody to read my stuff at first because I felt that was my safe place. Mm-hmm. So I was very transparent with the writing. And then once people read it, they understood me. So how you're saying, y'all getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. Which is why I love doing this podcast. I like getting to know someone's story or background, because now I know why Kevin may get upset when this happens. And they're like, somebody just flicked the light, but we may not know that.
Right.
Kevin could have been getting hit when he was little by a babysitter and they used to flick the light. You know what I mean? So it's so important for us to understand that it's not just a bad mood. It's not just, it's
mental health. I interviewed this this young lady who's on the radio named Danny Starr. She's on the radio, on TV, and she interviews different celebrities. And here she was struggling with, she had postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. And I actually, we went out to dinner last night, and she said one thing that she has learned that she would encourage everybody. Mental health is so precious. We just think everybody's good or everybody's normal. But she encourages, you know your people. Yeah. So if me and you are tight and I call you every day or text you every other day and all of a sudden you don't hear from me, so you send me a text, you good, and I reply, I'm good. You know your people. Yeah. So you know you would hear from me more than that. So we need to be checking on our people because sometimes they're not strong enough to say, hey, I'm not good. So I commend y'all as young men, you know, for taking that responsibility because now you've taken on the burden of somebody else's thing. Right.
Mm-hmm. And just to piggyback off what he was saying about Kendrick Lamar with the song Fear, the song is deeper than just him, you know, talking about what he's scared of. If you notice in the song, he starts it off with him almost being his mother. And she continuously says, I'll beat your ass, I'll beat your ass, I'll beat your ass if I beat your ass twice and you still here. I'll beat your ass if I hear you humping on Keisha's daughter. You feel what I'm saying?
So it's everything is
and
a...
And it carries out, it shows how that kind of parenting can really carry out through his life because he says, like, well, I'm 27 and I'm my biggest fear was how they view me. And that's it's so deep and it's so simple, but it's true. It's that he had to deal with so much different fear and different fears in his life that he grew up and now he's dealing with fear that he should have dealt with when he was a child. Mm-hmm. But instead, he had to deal with I'll beat your ass if you do this.
If you do that. And he couldn't deal with the fear because he lived with the one who put it in him.
And that was just his surroundings growing up. And I can only imagine, you know, growing up in Baltimore is already hard, but growing up in Compton for him, you feel what I'm saying? It could just be different, but music is always the avenue to somebody's heart. Mm-hmm. And I know that, and I can tell that. That's my testimony. When when I sing, when I perform, that's how I release who I am. Mm-hmm. If I'm hurting, music is my healing. And it's literally a song by Gary Clark Jr. and it's called Healing. And the whole entire chorus, most of the song is the chorus. He's saying, this music is my healing. Wow. This music is my healing. And honestly, that's what us as Black people have to do. We have to, if we want to improve our mental health, we have to find out because step number one is always realizing what it is.
And it's acknowledging that.
Step one is always acceptance. You need to accept that it's a thing. But then we have to realize what is it that I can do to release this out of me? Most people can't sing. Most people, I mean, it's not, talent isn't always something that people can actually relate to.
Right.
Other people see things in numbers. Other people find things in voicing their opinion in politics. You feel what I'm saying?
Everybody has what you're saying. Okay.
Everybody has their own gift. And the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. Mm-hmm. And when it does, then you can become who you are. And that's how I feel. I've been carrying myself through college and, you know, trying to just be who I am. Because when you're in college, like, I'm trying to tell you, for anybody really wanting to go to college and make, you know, make their lives better, the thing you'll realize is college forces you to become who you truly are. Mm-hmm. College forces the person inside of you that you either didn't know about or have been trying to hide. It forces it to come out of you because you're on your own now. Ain't nobody helping you.
Ain't nobody. Yeah. Ain't nobody mom's
is,
not
ain't
there.
Ain't nobody holding your hand. Ain't nobody forcing. Literally, nobody is forcing you to do anything.
I remember that.
You are doing everything by your own will. Like literally, I used to say to myself, I enjoy being home because I don't have to make any decisions. But when I'm in school, everything I do is a decision.
Even down to what am I going to eat? What am I going to do?
Literally, everything that I do, every move that I make, everywhere I go is a decision. Whether, like, how long, like, I don't even have to worry about what time it is here. But at school, I know exactly what time it is whenever. Because time is so precious in college. You don't have a lot of time in college. Everything moves fast. Mm-hmm. So if you lag or if you don't, you know, stay on top of anything, it's going to really hurt you, and that's life. And that's what college is supposed to do. College is supposed to mimic what life is going to be like for you when you get out.
Right, because you're not going to have.
And if you're not ready for it, because I remember before I went to college, everybody kept telling me, you better get ready because everything's going to get real, real fast. And I didn't know what that meant.
And honestly,
nobody will ever know what college is going to be like for them until they go. Nobody can tell you. Nobody can do it for you. You got to do it for yourself.
I had an aunt that said everybody should experience at least 1 year on campus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's fun. It's just, it's fun, but you also have to keep your head straight because if you don't.
Again, it reveals who you are.
I'm trying to tell you, if you slip any moment, like I'm trying to tell you, the funniest thing for me is just knowing how hard school was for me and just knowing how hard I had to work, I didn't even think I was going to do good when I came out, like when my grades were done. I thought I was going to be terrible. Mm. But my grades came out on top, and now I'm sitting at a 3.2.
Wow.
And that's good for my first year because I'm trying to make it easy on myself.
And your adjustment too, you know?
Yeah, honestly. But I didn't think that I was going to do that good. And you can really surprise yourself at how pressure and how, you know, like your negativity around you can really force you to do something amazing. And honestly, I wasn't supposed to do as good as I did, but I did. Mm-hmm. And I showed myself that no matter what people tell you, no matter how life can really bring you down, you will never let yourself slip. And I honestly never let myself like fully slip to where I was at like rock bottom.
Okay.
Now, even though I may have felt like I've gotten there, and people can get there, you can really hit rock bottom. But the funniest part about rock bottom is that you cannot go any further.
Right.
You can literally do nothing but go up. But the second you realize that you can't, the second you tell yourself, I'm at rock bottom and this is where I have to stay, you always going to stay there.
And I think people often associate, you say rock bottom, I can't go anywhere, because they associate it as them fixing themselves. And especially, it's funny to me how even church people will say, I heard somebody say, Black people don't go to counseling, we take baths and read the Bible. Well, no, that I mean.
The person that said that, they ain't even reading the Bible.
Right.
They do, they playing. They read
so I'm like, if you will go to a doctor if something is wrong for your body, why would you not go for your mental health? There's a reason that God gave these people knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, so I know a lot of people who were who've talked about being nervous or scared to go get help. And it some of these people, they grow up, they get married, they have children, and now you've created another generation of crazy. Honestly, exactly. That's what it is.
But it's acceptance. That's what I was trying to say. Like, honestly, when you don't want to accept it, you're scared to find out because you know already.
Yeah. You already know.
You already know what's going on inside of you because nobody else knows what's going on in your head more than anybody else on this earth but God. Mm-hmm. So the only reason why they feel as scared is because they don't want to know.
But that's like with your body. If you got a toothache, you're honestly not going to go to the dentist because you don't have one. You're going to go because you know something's there, but you need to diagnose what.
Yeah,
you so it's the same thing.
It and it's scary, but life is scary.
Now, do you guys have mental health facilities on your campuses?
Yeah.
No.
No,
our campus doesn't. No,
mine has. Our school has a whole entire facility. It's basically in our whole health department. They give free STD tests. They give free HIV tests. They have counselors at our disposal for free.
Okay,
and all of the tests are for free. Of course, they got free condoms. I mean, our health department has a lot to offer
overall.
Okay. Like I remember before I left school to come back here. I remember I woke up one day and my ears were straight clogged. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I cleaned my ears like 2 days before that. And I couldn't hear anything. So I went to the doctor and they were telling me, like, it was just a part of whatever allergy I don't even know I have. But they were saying the change in the pressure, the change in the air caused wax to just grow out of nowhere in my ears and clog. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I had just cleaned them. So, and I just went straight. It was quick. It wasn't like I was waiting 2 hours.
Okay.
It was really swift. And they made sure that they gave me everything that I needed in a swift manner. And I mean, that's really, that's critical for college students. For mental health, like college students, we need it a lot because your head can be bottled.
Well, and it's pressure. But Kevin, I know you want to speak, but I wanted to go back to something you said. Whoever created Morehouse and is it Clark Atlanta or Atlanta Clark?
Clark Atlanta.
Clark Atlanta. It almost to me, and I could be thinking too deep, but how you said they force you to rely on each other. It almost seems as if the four colleges set it up that way on purpose.
Definitely,
like,
definitely.
You know, like, okay, more, you would think Morehouse would have its own library, but it doesn't. So you have to go to your brother's campus
the whole,
to go.
The whole thing is set up that way.
It's beautiful.
All the way down to even like the structure of how it's built. Like just how like Clark Atlanta has this thing called the Promenade. It's like a long walkway. That's like mainly their campus. That's where their classes are. That's where their places to eat are. But it's like, to Morehouse and Spelman, that's a place to just go.
Okay.
And sit and relax and just chill. Like if you're not doing work, if you want to just see people and you want to just, you know, just fellowship with others. But I want to get back to the mental health thing. And I feel like one thing, like y'all was saying, the issue is knowing what's wrong.
Yeah.
But then we got to go back to the main issue is change. Because a lot of people don't want to change their surroundings. Like, you may have an issue, But you know, to solve the issue, you gotta stop smoking every day or something like
that. Say
that,
yeah, yep.
It's issues like that. You gotta stop dealing with this person or being around these people. Like, and also getting back to the Kendrick album, it's a song in there called Feel. Like, his album kind of helped my life a lot. It speaks to
well,
you.
Well, this
a
is
lot.
The second time I've heard you talk about it, so I'm gonna get it.
Good.
The entire album.
This is not To Pimp a Butterfly, right? No, is this something different?
His most recent album called Damn.
It's like Damn.
I'm gonna download it. Okay.
And it's like he has a song in there called Feel, and he's just saying how he feels, and he's saying, I feel like, you know, I don't want to be bothered. I feel like you may be the problem, like things like that. And it's great because I look at it as a like from a point of like now you know, like you know what your issues are, right? Now, okay. So like he knows what's going on, things like that. And he ended the every verse off of saying, I feel like ain't nobody praying for me. And most of the album, he would just say randomly throughout the album, ain't nobody praying for me. Ain't nobody. That's how he felt, and it's like. That's sad that you feel that way. So I feel like also being an HBCU or being just in this world as a black man, you got to believe in something. You got to believe in somebody.
Something.
And you got to find others who believe in that too. Because
it's all connected.
It's all connected. It's all connected. And like I know even if I don't talk to you every day, like even like some, there are times where I sit down and I mean, I talk to AJ every day at school. But I know if I sit down and I'm praying, he's in my prayers.
Okay.
My sisters are in my prayers. My people I went to high school with are in my prayers. My friends over at Spelman and Clark, my brothers at Morehouse, I pray for them individually because we all feel the same way. We all going through the same stress. And I feel like honestly, mentally, it's something not right with everybody. No one's just okay.
Yeah,
something
not right with everybody. Somebody said that yesterday. I was listening to something and they said everybody to a degree has a mental health.
Has some kind of issue.
It's just how they handle it.
Yeah, it's all about how you handle it and are you gonna, you know, work on it or are you gonna let it consume you? That's the main thing right there. You gotta embrace it. Like it's you can't just try to push it away or put things over top of it or try to just bury it. It's something that you gotta just become one with and understand that, you know, something is wrong with me. Like, I'm not okay.
And I need to get help. And I think that's the biggest problem because black people have had to be strong for so long that I don't think other races truly get
the struggle we've been going through. We've been dealing with struggle with this country since 1619. When the first slave stepped his foot on this country, we've been going through problems. Mm. And it literally took all the way until 1971 for the black man to fully be free to do whatever he wanted. That's a long time.
To an extent.
Not realize your body may be free, but your mind, I mean, not I think about somebody who got into a car accident. They're now in a they got into a car accident and they can move their limbs, but they don't know who you are. They have amnesia. So it's their mind is not. So it's like, it's the same thing. And I don't think they get hundreds and hundreds of years of somebody being mentally bound.
Yeah.
And people will say, oh, well, that's just your great grandmom. Think back to what you said about learning why your grandmom left the candy in her room. So these issues, I may not have experienced never being able to drink out of a black water fountain. But if my family has, that's going to affect the way they teach me and view the world. So now I'm viewing the world through their lens.
Down.
Yes.
That kind of fear that outlook on everybody around you, that stuff passes down. Like my father let me know early on, you can't be out here doing crazy stuff and doing this and the third because they look at your actions different than anybody else. Like all of my actions look 20 times worse. Me arguing with somebody and a white person arguing with somebody.
Totally different.
Mine looked so much worse. It looked like I'm about to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's scared for his life. And honestly, fear is like the biggest issue with this country. Mm-hmm. They fear us because they don't understand us.
And it paralyzes. Fear is really paralyzing.
And that's really all what it comes down to, power. And you know what I'm saying? Like this country needs to work on where power lies and who's supposed to have it. Hmm. Because honestly, with our new government, power is a very big issue. Because who would have ever thought that a TV personality, business person, who's been sued over 4,000 times could ever turn out to be this bad of a president?
And I look at it, you're in the acting field.
Yeah.
And again, so my kids are, so I listen to a lot of podcasts that deal with entertainment. It's funny to me how, you talk about mentally disturbed, you will hear people say they don't take reality stars seriously because as real actors. So you'll have a reality star that books a major movie.
Yeah.
But you voted for one for your country.
Yeah.
So you're more upset because they don't have the schooling that you have, but they booked a movie. But you got a man who's never held any type of office. You voted for him.
The only thing he ever did was tried to discredit one of the best presidents to ever come through this country for two terms. And like, why would you look at this man and say that he wasn't even an American? Why would you even question that?
And to me, that's what people, you ever heard the saying, you know, if you let a fool talk long enough, he'll reveal he's a fool, basically. Yeah. So even if people did not agree with President Obama, I may not agree with something AJ has done, but I'm not going to vote for Kevin when his only issue is bashing AJ. AJ, no, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I felt like that with number 45, like, because I said I'm going to be respectful. But that's the most respect I can have right now, is to say 45.
I only respect him because he's a human.
And that's what I mean. And that's honestly, what I mean. Human-wise,
really,
me
really
too.
That's really bad. Like, I honestly don't like when I only have respect for somebody because they're human.
Because God created
you.
And
that's what I'm saying. Like, that's really it. Because, like, whether or not we respected, whether or not anybody respected Obama, whether anybody agree with what he did, his results are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Just like numbers. Numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie. No.
So his results ain't what's lying. Whatever he had done, it doesn't matter. It's what he left on this country. And the impression that he left on this country is undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
He did good for us. He may not have done everything that he said. No president always does.
Right.
Most presidents only really do 75% of what they tell people in the campaign.
But we know this, it's been proven.
But most of the things that he said he was going to do, he did, and he did more than that. And he tried to set up for a good country for the next president, had we gotten a sufficient president.
Yeah.
But now we just got somebody wearing a suit playing president.
And he doesn't have respect. You have to have respect for the people that you govern. And I think my thing is his lack of respect for certain segments of society. That's what really...
And honestly, people need to be more knowledgeable of this. Because most people only think that he's just a bad person or whatever, but why? Do you know what he's actually doing? Do you know how it's affecting you? Like, these things need to be talked about because really, like, it's so simple. This statement is so simple, but knowledge actually is power.
Yeah.
You find a lot of power in just how much you know.
But then I had an old manager that used to say that, well, you know, knowledge is power. But there was things that she knew that she didn't implement. So I would tell her, no, the application of the knowledge you know is power. Because you can know it all day long.
Absolutely.
But if you don't change, which like you said, Kevin, it goes back to change. So you have the knowledge, but you have to change and you know, in order for it to come about. And that's the premise of the podcast, which is why I wanted you guys on here. Because from the time I was younger, I always identified with a butterfly. And I never knew why. I would always just say, oh, I'm a butterfly. And it's funny because... Kevin, your mom would be like, you just always everywhere. And I would say, but that's what a butterfly does. You bring a little color here, then you move on, but they're never really touchable. And I know that some things you have to deal with mentally. Why don't you want to be why? Right. I just want to bring light to you guys. But if I'm dealing with something, I'm gone and you can't see me. But a caterpillar, you know, we all know a caterpillar starts out as a caterpillar. And when I was doing my research, what was interesting to me was a caterpillar goes into a cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
While they're in the cocoon, when you see it on the outside, it looks shiny and it looks like, oh, it's interesting. But on the inside, the caterpillar is literally eating its own self, its own enzymes, in order to be strong enough to break through the cocoon. So it's interesting to me that sometimes in order for us to really manifest and become who we are, we got to eat our own mess and deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's what makes us stronger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I love that.
That's actually good.
Yeah. Like it has to eat its... And actually, a caterpillar can have a metamorphosis outside of the cocoon, but it wouldn't survive. So they said nature, but I equated it to God. Nature knows just the right time to cocoon them. Nature knows during this time of a caterpillar's life, it's getting ready to cocoon, so I got to make sure I have a shell.
Absolutely.
So it's just amazing to me to hear you guys and to see, because I've known you guys since you were in middle school, your evolution, the evolution of Kevin, the evolution of Antoine. Hey, Twan. You know, I told him, now I know that's what they be saying, and I'm sure they be saying, what's up, Kevin? You know, he laughing.
Even on top of all of that, it's like y'all say knowledge is power, but I feel like the biggest thing is, that the world does not understand is that the world and everybody's life is driven by fear.
Absolutely.
It's like knowledge is power, but it's the fear of not knowing, and that's the issue.
You think
like,
even every action, whether good or bad,
everything, no matter what,
fear.
No matter what, everything is driven on fear because no one knows what's next. Like example, like President Trump. I don't know. I feel like I don't like what he's doing, but I respect him because he's like, a lot of the presidents don't do what they say they were going to do, but like, he's doing what he said he was going to do from the jump. He's saying, I'm going to ban these people. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. But then, like, it's like people are trying to, like, debate it and still argue it. And like this whole trial that's going on with Russia, I feel like that's a waste of time, because now he's already president. So now you got to work with what you had.
Instead of just continue to. I don't think it's a waste of time.
I'm saying, look, but he's the president right now.
They would have thought the same thing for Nixon, knowing what happened. The same thing happened to Nixon. He literally, Trump is the first president since Nixon to fire the head of the FBI who was doing an investigation on something that he had done. And what happened
about to Nixon? But the investigation is on the election. He's already president now. So now at this point, it's a waste of time.
So you're saying you don't feel like they should go back? So because what if they were to find that it was true?
I'm saying, okay, if they find out it's true, and then what's, I mean, okay, if something were to happen out of it, if he was to get impeached or whatever, mm-hmm. all that's fine and dandy. But as of right now, I feel like we're spending a lot of time on this, and I feel like it's a lot of time wasted.
Because, a lot of time and money.
But yeah, just a lot of that, because it's like, he's already president, so now just try to grow with him. Like, you gotta understand the reasons why he's doing what he's doing. Yeah, it's not okay to ban, you know, Muslims from the country, mm-hmm. and things like that. But then, like, you gotta look at it and understand why he's doing it. He's doing it because if you look, I have my CNN notifications on all the time, so I can always know what's going on. My father had me do
that.
So it's like you see literally every single day. It's like it's a bomb in here or a bomb in there, right. Or some kind of mass terror attack here. So he's saying, okay, like, are y'all scared? Everybody's scared.
So I'm just gonna cut out everybody.
We don't know why it's happening, but we know. We don't want it to happen here. Everybody's saying, okay, everything, yeah, you shouldn't ban Muslims, whatever. But if they blow something up over here, then everybody gonna be, oh, what's next? So okay. You gotta just understand what's going on and understand why he's doing that. So I look at it from that kind of point of view, just a point of view of understanding. But then back to like fear. It's just like the world is just driven on fear, and it's just that eats people up. It eats you up inside. Yeah. It's just. Cause now you don't know. Like I said, it's a fear of not knowing, and it's a repetitive thing. It's just an ongoing cycle. Cause now you just live in fear, and that's not healthy.
No, it's not.
That's not healthy for anybody.
And again, it paralyzes you. I know. To mm-hmm. me, I've had to go places and say perform spoken word, and you think outgoing, but I remember there was one time that I was so scared before I went up, I literally could not move, and I was like, I don't like this feeling of not being in control of. You know, yeah, but and it's like so crippling. So I can't imagine. Like you said, it is the fear of not knowing. And when you talk about making decisions and being on your own, I make my son make decisions now. He'll say, "What do you want for dinner?" I don't know. Decide now, because I know. Even though Corey will be like, but mm-hmm. I know that he's got to be a critical and swift thinker. I was always taught, even if you make any decision is better than the wrong decision, because like you said, you don't know. Yeah. So when I was working, my vice president would make me make decisions on things that I shouldn't even be making decisions on. But she was like, if it's wrong, I'll tell you you're wrong and I'll show you where to go from there. So I'll ask him, what do you think we should have for dinner? Or are you going to the movies with your friend? I don't know. Make a decision and decide you're going or not. Yes or no.
Right.
Because he's going to, in life, he's going to be able to have to make critical mm-hmm. thinking decisions, mm-hmm. you know? So I definitely... But you guys were talking about, you know, it's funny because anybody listening can clearly see how you guys are our future world changers. And I'm not even going to say future. I'm sure within your own parameters now you're doing different things. I heard about you spending the night, Kevin, with the homeless.
Oh, yeah.
What was that experience like?
I was part of an organization. It's called Lighthouse.
Yeah, and okay.
Basically, like, it started off as a mentoring program. But then it turned into just mainly focusing on community outreach and focusing on helping the homeless and giving back. And there was an event called Night on Brown Street where basically, you know, people slept outside for a night just to get a feel of that. And I mean, it was what you would expect, honestly. It was what you would expect. They gave us like a piece of cardboard to stay on, and it was humbling. It was definitely humbling.
But I mean, you can say what you expect, but until you go through something, what emotions, like you walk past a homeless person and you feel bad, but to actually be in their footsteps, I say for that night, what emotions did that cause in you? Like truly, like
it was sad. It was definitely sad because they didn't allow us to try to turn this into like a joyous occasion, like all these black people in one area. Of course, you can have fun with that, but it didn't allow us to do that. It was like really take in what you're doing, take in why you're doing this, and like we couldn't bring too many. We couldn't use our phones. Like, we had to really, like, simulate a homeless experience. And it was definitely, I mean, it was definitely a humbling experience. It was definitely, it was upsetting. It was upsetting. And being, like, a critical thinker, you help, it makes you realize, like, wow, they do this every day. And, I mean, I've always felt for homeless people, you know, because I feel like, I mean, everybody is significant. You know, everybody is important. So you shouldn't walk past these people like they're nobody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whether they need, because you never know, like, this conversation you have with them might help them, you know, not jump off a bridge, things like that. So I always try to, even though if I have money, I try to give money to them, whether no matter what they do with it. It's my intention.
It don't matter.
You know? It's always my intention. Yep. So it's I, as long as I had, you know, pure intentions with it, I don't really worry about anything else. So, I mean, it's definitely, they always been, like, you know, on my radar and always been people I've always, you know, felt something for. And even if, like, I'm driving past someone homeless and, like, I seen someone most recently, I seen a homeless man take his shoes off, stack his shoes on top of each other and lay down on the sidewalk and use his shoes as a pillow. And then I always just break down an immediate prayer for these people.
Because yes, yeah.
It's like all the time, because you just never know. Because
that could have been the president of a Fortune 500 right. company, and people automatically assume. Yeah. And that's what I always tell my kids, you treat everybody with respect, because you could be the president today, but the janitor tomorrow. You just never know.
Yeah, honestly.
That's a beautiful thing that you got to be out there with them. But like you said, as a critical thinker, and I'm going to go back to what you said about fear. So now you've done that. So now you have people based doing, I got to work harder in school. Mm-hmm. Let me get a second job. I got to help mama because I don't want to be that which I experienced. Right. So again, so then that success can be driven off of fear. So that's basically what
I do as a performer. Like, there's not one time I've been on stage or about to get on stage mm-hmm. and I wasn't scared. Like, I use my I use my nervousness and my fear to keep me on my toes. Like, when I was doing that musical, what? Because it was such a big production, and I was this
and you're
freshman.
The freshman that has a lead.
And
I
was just this one, and I had to sing all these songs. I had to do so much. Like, I had to wear this harness because in the end I was getting hung. So I had to wear this harness for the entire show. That harness was at least like 10 pounds more on my body. And I was running. So I was running around. I remember sweating. And mind you, like, they had me in all kinds of makeup and all this other kind of stuff, man. And I'm sweating out of all of it. I mean, bullets on stage. Still almost out of breath, still having the same songs in my low register. Mm-hmm. And that was difficult.
And that's the dedication to your craft.
But see, but me being scared keeps me like going, but because I don't wanna succumb to that feeling. I don't wanna, you know, you're afraid of not doing good.
And you're afraid of success.
You're afraid of success. So you use that fear to push you there. Like, I'm scared, but I'm gonna fight through this. Like, this is what I do.
Okay.
So like I always try to tell it to myself, like, this is what you do. You can't act like this ain't what you do. This is what you do. So one way or another, your body is going to find a way to be perfect in your own way. And of course I'm going to make mistakes. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. But honestly, what I think should happen within fear and within change, you have to be able to hear the hard things about yourself. People really don't know that, like, a part of trying to change is to really know who you are and what you don't want to hear.
Yeah,
and
that's
honestly,
true.
As an actor, as a performer, that's all you need to be wanting. Like, the only thing that I ever wanted to hear, whether good or bad, I want to hear my critiques. I want to hear what I need to do, whether I like it or not.
Because you can't change if you don't know.
Because you really don't know. Any director that doesn't give notes is really doing their actors a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need to know what they want out of the production or whatever they need to convey within the production. Into the audience. That's really what it is, and that's my craft, but that's also life. You need to know what you really need to know.
Mm-hmm.
The harsh realities about yourself, because you can run from everything on this earth, but you cannot run from yourself.
From yourself. Mm-hmm.
Nobody can.
And I think families do their people. I've seen where families they just kind of brush it under the rug, like, oh, that's just them. But then they get out in this world and people not looking at you like that's just them, like,
yeah,
you have a problem. Because I was listening to one of the basketball wives, and she said people run around saying hurt people, but hurt people will get hurt.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, based on their, you slap somebody because, oh, you were slapped when you was little. No, you should have dealt with that then.
Pain loves company.
Yeah, that's
always.
Do you guys remember the movie, they called it Number 42, but about Jackie Robinson?
Oh, yeah. I went to the movie to see that thing.
The actor said that there was one scene when he had to try to steal the base. He did that scene almost 100 times. And he said when by the time he was done, he was crying because it was so much on his body. over and over and over and over. But he said, like, he pulled up his inner resolve and said, this is what I do. And this is my big break. So even with him crying, you know what I mean?
And now he's trying to do Black Panther, the biggest movie, the biggest superhero movie Black people have ever seen.
Which will prepare him for that. And that's another thing. Like, you have to prepare yourself. Yeah, you guys are speaking some real good things. Now, I'm going to flip it a little bit with us all going to Empowerment Temple under Pastor Bryant. And Kevin, especially with you being going to his alma mater. And I was about to say, I'm going to call him AJ. Your mama named you AJ. No, I'm just joking.
It don't matter.
But AJ, with you going to an HBCU, would you consider him a role model in terms of his activism for the community and how, even though he's here, there, and everywhere, he's still somebody that I feel like, from what I've seen, kind of like is on the right side of the law when it comes for his activism in our community?
I mean, definitely. I consider him a role model of mine, but then on top of that, I didn't know how big of a deal he was until he came to campus. And people seen him and was like, oh, Pastor Bryant. Like, people running up to him like he was a celebrity.
Wow.
So it was like that. So it helped me realize like who I was really dealing with. Because I see him, you know, on a regular basis. Like, we talk.
And we kind of take
so I kind of take it for granted. Like, he's a regular person. Even if I'm talking to somebody and tell me, you know, my pastor's Pastor Bryant down there, they're like, what? Are you serious? I'm like,
yeah, it's always a reaction.
Yeah, it's always something. So, I mean, he's definitely a mentor of mine and definitely, you know, a motivation, like someone to like aspire to be like and a role model, because he does so much for the community. And it's like seeing that and even also like being active, like in church, like how we like did a lot of marches and things like that at church.
Yeah.
Like even doing those with AJ, it was like that was something I definitely wanted to, you know, carry on with me going to college, because, you know, it's an injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. So it's like, you know, it's always an issue, and people can always, you know, get help anywhere. So it was always, you know, something that I always took from him and just, you know, wanted to run with.
Now give me one piece of advice that he's personally given you that you've made it sort of like a mantra or a motto, if you will.
He doesn't even get too deep. He just tells me, like, look, just do it. Like, it's no excuse.
And just be like Nike said, there's no, okay.
Yeah, like, it's no, he doesn't get too deep or try to say too much. It's just, you know, there's no excuse. Just get into it. Like, okay.
Okay.
Like, I even be trying to, like, talk to him and break down. Like, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And he's like, okay. Okay.
Right. Life
happens. You know, just get through it and just do it. Like, just that's just what it is. So that was something that, I mean, it wasn't a lot of words, but it was profound.
That's funny to me that it's funny. When I started this podcast, I made a list of people who I wanted to interview. Mm-hmm. And I truly felt like I wanted him to be the first. So, you know, people like, but my whole thing was, I don't want anybody that's going to come on and not be honest. We may not have to talk about certain things, but if you can't be transparent. So he actually was, I was supposed to, he agreed to 30 minutes, but then, you know, you got the PR, like, you got 15. So I had to look at it like, now I only have 15, but I'm telling you, he made that 15 feel like 45. Right. Yeah, so it's funny that, but he has the ability to be, to stretch 15 into 45. And I walked away learning more about him, but then he can also, when you're looking for him, like, man, I'm telling you what I'm going through. Right. And you telling me, okay, just do it. So I guess that really speaks to his well-roundedness, if you will. And I think sometimes maybe if you expound too much on a person, you ever been talking to somebody and you start agreeing with them, yeah, that's a lot, and now they've just went into a rabbit hole versus the opposite. Okay, so what you gonna do?
Yeah.
Where can they go from there?
Because life is a little bit more simple than people trying to make it out to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's really what it is. And that's why I was saying it's a man thing. Because for us, like, when people got to realize, like, men are black and white. It either it is or it's not. It's not a lot of gray areas. It's either it is or it isn't. So with us, it's like when we talking to each other and we trying to share each other's problems, we make it simple. Just do it. Just try your best. See it through. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Like, now I'm talking to my friends. We have moments where we have to sit down and give each other advice, drop some keys. You know what I'm saying? But there are other times where it's like, I know you're going through this. I know you feel bad about it, but you just got to do it. Like, you just got to keep praying and keep trusting that you're going to get through it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just the simplest thing I could probably say about it. That's really what I've kept in mind all of this time. And, you know, just like he's saying, Excuse me.
Y'all, I don't know if I'd have made AJ tired.
Nah, I'm
joking with you. I know.
it's just like a lot of
I called Kevin and I was too. I was like, look, like, okay.
Mommy woke me up like, look, you better get up because
yes, she's going to be. Shout out to look, Keisha was y'all's PR people. She was texting me like, look, they're going to be. So I didn't clear. Look, I've checked and their schedules are clear. I was like, mama, yeah. She ain't playing.
No, yeah. Like last night, it was like a smooth 2 in the morning and I'm sitting there, you know, watching TV, watching Orange is the New Black season 5. And she's talking about some. You better go downstairs and clean up because it's people coming to this house tomorrow, and I don't need them thinking that we some dirty families. Everything is so beautiful.
It definitely is. I'm like, because I was telling her when by the time I get home, my two that was still in the bed better have their stuff together.
I'm gonna tell you, it was glasses everywhere. I got a hat everywhere. They wasn't even together. They were all stacked up. That stereo was all stacked up. And it's supposed to be down here. It's supposed to be in my room.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Your mom said get the cleaning. So how the transition for me was a little hard when, listen, I felt like when I went to college and I come home on break, I'm grown. I live in the dorm. I come and go when I want.
Honestly.
But my mom swiftly, no, you home now.
Bring it back.
Yeah, she brought me back real quick. Was no coming in. Excuse me. You're going to respect my house. And that's something that I had to learn. So do you guys struggle with that transition?
You won't go. Definitely.
I got to. Don't get it wrong.
Definitely. Because, I mean, it's not even the fact of having to do things. It's the fact that in school, I did them on my own time. You know?
Okay.
Like, I did them on my own time. Yeah. And now I'm being told to do things all the time. And then, but in my house, though, it's kind of like I'm kind of like relied on a lot to go do X, Y, and Z. Or
okay.
Go pick up this, go do that. And it's just like just being able, first, just doing things for myself. Now I got to come do things for myself and pitch in with everybody else.
Okay.
It's definitely something. But then I look at it as also just a motivation because, like, you know, I don't like it. I don't like having to run around and do all this stuff. I might be laying down.
I get my own house.
I might be laying down, sitting on the phone or something like that, and I got to go get up and run and pick up food or support things like that.
Yeah.
So use as a motivation, like, okay, just to get back or, find me an internship or something like that. Just things like that. You use as a motivation because, I mean, you'll be treated like a kid as long as you live under your parents' house.
My mom we went to flew out to Florida a couple of months ago. So you know how when your baggage is coming down? And now previous to that, we were going through security. And Atlanta Airport ain't no jokes. And we always fly out of Atlanta. So, you got to take the monorail all the way over to your terminal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't realize until we got over there and the flight was in 35 minutes that her bag was still over there because they don't tell you, I'm pulling your bag.
Right.
She just looked down and didn't have it. We had to go all the way back. Then they sent us through the international line.
Wow.
So we had to go through security again. So
playing games.
Yeah, so I remembered all that. So this time we're waiting for the bag to come and I see my bag go a different way. So in my mind, because I'm used to handling things, I got a family. I'm like, I'm married. I got kids.
Right.
So I'm like, let me just ask her, do they want me to move? That way she knows I know that they have my bag. So I said, excuse me, ma'am. And my mom's like, just don't say nothing. You don't want to upset them. And I'm like,
no.
And I almost went to like, oh, okay. Then I said, I know. I just want to let her know that I saw it. And should I move over here?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, okay then. So after we got it all settled and they thought they saw something in my bag, we were going down the escalator. And she said, you know what? Sometimes I still see you as little Tariq and not 40 years old.
Yeah.
So, but if we're not careful, we immediately will just fall back into that role. And like you said, they'll always treat you like a kid.
Forever.
As long as you.
Always going to be the child. No matter how we could be, they could be 110 and we like 92.
Right.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
You are still the child.
But y'all are respectful, which is what,
absolutely,
again, and that, again, that speaks to your parenting.
Because when you're younger and you try all of that talking back.
My mom was quick.
You lucky you're not through the wall.
Right,
the other side. And I mean, if you take it negatively, then you'll grow up and you'll be so negatively affected.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when you look at it as, I see why. Like, when you look back and you understand what's going on, like, it's so many times I had to call my father while I was at school. Like, now I see what you was trying to say.
Right.
Like, now I see what you was trying to tell me all this time. And I ain't want to believe you, but, like, now I clearly see what you were saying. Like, it was just so many situations where I would have to carry myself a certain way. But it was different than how I had been, but it wasn't different than how my father was trying to tell me.
Tell you.
And so it was like, I realized, I was like, now I see. Like, now I understand what she was trying to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm sorry that I was so resistant.
And I think that happens. And there's a saying that says youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah.
And then people will say, oh, if I could go back, I would never want to go back because I'm not going back saying I can change it. I'm just going back to relive the same thing. Honestly, you know, we all have to go through things.
I'm just now starting to realize that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to go back. So now I have two more things for y'all. Is there two more things? Actually, I have one more thing because psychology, mm-hmm. arts. Clearly psychology is definitely, cause I like to get to know people's mental thing right. too, but the fact that you're going, like, I'm trying to picture you as a psychologist. Like I think that would be, that's going to be really good.
I've tried to tell you I was so gung ho about being a psychologist, like for most of high school, that was all I was saying.
But the fact that you recognized and how you both decided to go into college with a major.
I was so gung ho about being an actor. Yeah, you knew that.
Because they both act, guys. He was
so serious about being an actor. And then it was like, nah, I want to do political science. I'm like, I bet. Now, but I wasn't gung ho about being an actor. It was just like something I was just doing.
But then
it was something. I didn't even think that I was as good as I thought I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't. It took me.
We was great, man.
Yeah, we were great. It took me to actually do shows, like do shows in my school and stuff like that. I did a whole bunch of shows in my school, and I started realizing, like, dang, I actually am good at this. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to be a psychiatrist. I'm like, man, I wanted to be a pediatric psychiatrist, and I was serious.
Now
like,
that right there, yeah.
I wanted to apply to UPenn and all of that because they had like a specific major for the biological basis of behavior. Because it was something that just interested me. I took AP Psych, and I was like, yo. I really like, I'm so fascinated with the brain.
And then when you watch children's actions, you can pretty much tell sometimes what's going on in somebody's house.
And it really wasn't even the mind that I was interested in. It was like the physical brain and how it affects people. So for example, like I used to really like try to pick apart what it was that, like, you know how you smell something.
Okay.
And it take you back to it's something immediately to where you were.
So
and
you,
I wanted to realize, I was like, why is it that when I smell something, it takes me right back to something?
Right.
And I realized it's because our noses and our hippocampuses are connected. They're literally connected. So everything that we can sense can go right back to our hippocampus.
To where
and it's right there and we can see it all. And that was so interesting to me to know that people can do these things. Like, it's so amazing what the brain can do. So I'm like, all right, smoking beer, psychiatrist, I'm going to get my degree.
A brain specialist,
but
right.
Then I realized I ain't good at math. I don't like doing all these papers.
You got to know all this
stuff. I'm not doing
stuff,
all these read-down. I don't like having to know all of these terms, all of these people with funny names. But what I did enjoy, I enjoyed learning about Shakespeare. I enjoyed learning about, well, you know, different methods of acting, how acting started. That's what I got interested in. I was like, man, I can't do all this paperwork. I got psychology major friends who are like killing themselves as freshmen.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Doing all of this paperwork. I'm like, man, I can't. I'd rather write like 2-page papers on why I'm a good thespian.
Right. And then out the rest. Well, honestly, all I got to do is scene. Okay, yeah, I'm good.
That's where I'm good. I can memorize some words and have to relive them, but having memorized terms and how they relate
and
to
knowing
the world,
that you could diagnose somebody wrong, like, oh, wait,
yeah,
my bad.
Like, I'm sorry. You ain't bipolar. Like, you had a bad
right. Or a multiple personality disorder.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
You
know? Just don't take that medicine no more. It's messing with your brain now. I can't do that.
Well, I have to say that as me, I'm excited to see you guys going through your different metamorphoses. It's definitely a pleasure to see and to all is not lost on the next generation. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as we continue to have students and young men like you guys who are also empowering others, because I think that's the key. You guys are working your thing, but you from what I know from both of you, you're very much if you see something, say something. Y'all like the New Jersey Transit. Right. If you see something, say something. So I appreciate that. So now I want you, a lot of people say, what would you tell your younger self? And I actually did a podcast and I wrote a blog post on it because for me, I tried to go back and talk to my 13-year-old self and I said, I ain't really got nothing to say to her.
I don't know what
she can't help. So then I tried to talk to the 16-year-old Taria. She really can't help me either. So I decided to speak to the future Taria and to make a contract with the future her that if you hold all these things for me, everything I want to do, I promise I'll get there. I'll get to you. So I want to ask both of you, let's say it's 3 years after grad school graduation and you had to write a letter, speak to the future Kevin, speak to the future Antoine. what is it in that? What would you be congratulating yourself on? Now, mind you, 3 years post grad school, what would you be congratulating yourself on achieving?
Okay, so it's funny. it's funny because when somebody usually asks me who my role model is, I would like not trying to sound self-centered, but it's my future self. Like my role model is who I think I'm going to be or who I think I'm going to see myself as to be. That's my role model. That person
I
see myself. So if I were to congratulate him, like I'm congratulating my future self on whatever.
Your future self on what it on what you've accomplished.
Jesus, congratulations on learning how to be patient. Because honestly, like the thing about me is my biggest problem and my best attribute is that I'm so patient with other people, but I don't got no time for myself. Like I don't like having to wait for things for myself. So honestly, my future self, congratulations for learning how to be patient and letting things come to you. Because honestly, success is something that is not just going to come like that. And if it does, it's coming. It's going to leave just as fast as it came. You got to know how to wait and be patient and respect the process. So congratulations for respecting the process and congratulations for learning who you are to other people. Because a lot of times, like I was just told recently that my problem is that I don't see the light within myself. But honestly, I don't feel like it's my place to. My gifts aren't gifts to me. They're gifts to other people. Okay. For me, it's my job. Good. It's my duty to become who I am. It's my duty to fulfill the gifts that God has gave me. So it's not the fact that my gifts are gifts to me. They're gifts to you. And I have to learn how to hone those gifts and not try to limit myself because I don't think that I'm good enough.
Okay.
And honestly, that's what I hope that this future Antoine will realize. And the last thing that future Antoine must get congratulated on is congratulations for looking so good. You feel me? Like I can't believe that you've grown into this beautiful chocolate man who just can get a yes out of every question. You feel me? That's basically what it is.
And I like that.
Hopefully I get a lot more knowledge. Like that's really what I'm hungry for. I'm hungry for knowledge and, you know, patience is my training. So
I like that.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate myself on two things. It would basically be first, congratulations on doing it, because a lot of the time I have an issue with, I'm still trying to find that middle point now of trying to do things on my own and knowing when I need help.
Yeah.
So, there are times where I might just shut down just mentally, like, okay, I mean, I just can't do it. I just can't deal with this right now, because I don't like overly stressing about things to where, like, you know, it's really taking a toll on me mentally. And it's like all I'm thinking about when I'm on the verge of breaking down about it, I'd rather just not deal with it at all. So, and a lot of times that may come like, and handy, like in school, I may feel that way. So it's like, congratulations on finally finishing, because I know I'm going to, but it's just a matter of time. So congrats on that, and congrats on, you know, understanding that fine line of when, you know, when you will need help and who to call on. Congratulations on understanding who was there for you and who weren't.
Okay.
You know, just things like that, just tipping things out, because like the point in my life I'm at right now is, excuse me, I'm still trying to find myself. Like,
okay.
I know where I want to be mentally, and I understand what's going on around me, but I need to understand like who are really for me and who aren't, and you know,
and what's your role?
Yeah, what's my role in everything that I'm doing? So it's mainly that, and just finishing, because I get fed up with stuff quick. I get fed up with a lot of stuff quick, and I'll just be like, you know what? Forget it. I'm not about to just put myself, you know, through this kind of stress, because it's not healthy. It's definitely not healthy. Even when you feel it taking a toll on you. And like it was days where I have assignments and things like that, and I wouldn't eat for like 2 days, and then I even realize it.
You not
just, eating. just trying to focus and tone in, and I not eat for 2 days and try to focus on an assignment, and then it still not come out with the grade I want. It takes a toll on you. Know you put this much effort into something,
and it's like
you couldn't even do what you wanted to do. So it's kind of like it was certain points in the semester I gave up. I dropped out of school like 4 times in my head. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm done with
I'm
this.
This, to
not,
you,
this not gonna work. This not gonna work. But you know, it's just mainly just finishing and just seeing it through to the end and just staying focused.
Well, I will end this podcast with congratulating you both. If I was speaking to your future selves, I would say, AJ, Antoine, congratulations on the 2 Tonys, the 3 Emmy, and the Oscar that you won, and for continuing to being a role model for the students. Thank you for establishing the scholarship at NCCU in your name for underprivileged young black men who don't have the help that they need. Mm. Kevin, if I were congratulating you, I would say, Kevin, congratulations on becoming the gentleman, the man that you want to be. Congratulations for realizing that you were truly meant to be the president of the United States. So congratulations for becoming the second African-American president of the United States. No, I'm just kidding. But I really do always think his mom knows I would always say Kevin for president. But no, Kevin, first of all, I want to congratulate you for going back to Morehouse and establishing the men's club. I could see you establishing something called the men's club, that teaching young men how to grow into who they are confidently into becoming the man that they're supposed to be. And I could definitely see you establishing something like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for establishing the Kevin Bullock Scholarship. You know, with this scholarship, there's no bull. Mm-hmm. You come and do what you got to do. I congratulate you for establishing that scholarship and for being one of the top psychologists in the country that you actually have a waiting list for people to get in, because not only you give knowledge with humor, and people are now around the world testifying to the fact that they went to see Kevin and they finally realized their potential in life and who they're meant to be. So if I was speaking to AJ and Kevin, that's what I would congratulate you guys on.
Also, so thank you for having us on this podcast.
Thank you. So much. Yes,
it's definitely an honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys know I'm a fan of you guys. So if I ever need an appointment, Kevin, I'm not waiting. If you say I don't have a, I'm gonna call your office and I'm gonna call his mama. AJ, I'm going to need my seat at a Grammy, at an Emmy, at a something. And you and Sky and Corey or something going to need to be in a movie together. And I'm going to be right there. Y'all don't know who I am? Excuse me. So, again, I it was an honor for me to interview you guys. I look so forward to what you guys are becoming. And is there any social media plugs that you want people to follow you at, or do you not?
All it is Snap. You can follow me on Snap at Circle Glass Twan. Very simple. Circle Glass Twan.
Spell Twan, just in case you know people.
I mean TWAN. My name is Circle Glass Twan.
Okay.
I post often, but I mean sometimes maybe not.
And Kevin, is yours G-rated or at least PG?
No, so I'm going to tell you.
Neither one of ours.
Honestly, I'm not going to give my name because you do not have to follow me. My social media is still under construction right now. I'm trying to make it more professional. But so. I'll probably be back again on this podcast, and I'll have it together by then. So
next time he comes back, you'll get his social media. Until then, if there's any young men out there that are listening and you want to speak to these guys, because like I said, they're really great mentors, just shoot me an email at Taria Faison, TariaFaison at yahoo.com, and I will be sure to get the message to them.
You can definitely email me at KevinBullock35@gmail.com. You know, I do a lot of speaking engagements, things like that.
Yes, they do. Kevin actually spoke at a commencement ceremony, if I'm not mistaken, last year, right? Okay. He spoke at a couple of commencement ceremonies. So they're definitely, if you're looking for young men to be an example for other young men in the community, Antoine Hawkins and Kevin Bullock is who you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And as for me, you guys know, you can follow me on Twitter at TS Faison, Facebook, Tales from a Butterfly. There's one more, y'all. I must be getting older. I forget. What's the other one? I don't know how to do Snap. I tried it. It's just not working out for me. So that's all y'all got right now. If I can't remember the other one, so go back and listen to other podcasts, and then you'll be able to find me. Mm-hmm. And guys, remember, as these gentlemen both said, no matter what it is you go through, no matter what situation that you find yourself in, no matter what cocoon that you just don't think you can see your way out of, and your fear is people watching, that's okay. Let them watch and have every single assurance that your current caterpillar will one day become your future butterfly. Fly on, butterflies. Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Peace and blessings.